Hi, this is Pastor Daniel Bracken. You're listening to Kings Alaska Podcast. I hope the word encourages you and you get a touch from God that brings transformation and equips you to experience life with people, power, and purpose. Thank you for joining us. Enjoy the word.
New Living Translation tonight, James chapter 3. Are you ready? Here we go. Dear brothers and sisters, not many of you should become teachers in the church. For we who teach will be judged more strictly. Great. Indeed, we all make many mistakes. For if we would control our tongues, we would be perfect and could also control ourselves in every other way. We can make a large horse go wherever we want by means of a small bit in its mouth. And a small rudder makes a huge ship turn wherever the pilot chooses to go, even though the winds are strong. In the same way, I want you to say that, in the same way. And I have like a ring up here if you could help me. Thank you so much. In the same way, the tongue is a small thing that makes great, grand speeches. But a tiny spark can set a great forest on fire. And among the parts of the body, the tongue is a flame of fire. It is a whole world of wickedness corrupting the entire body. It can set your whole life on fire. For it is set on fire by hell itself. Verse 7. People can tame all kinds of animals, birds, reptiles, fish, but no one can tame the tongue. It is restless and evil, full of deadly poison. Sometimes it praises our Lord and Father, and sometimes it curses those who have been made in the image of God. And so blessing and cursing come pouring out of the same mouth. Surely, my brothers and sisters, this is not right. Verse 11. Does spring water bubble out both fresh and bitter water? Does a fig tree produce olives? Or the grapevine produce figs? No. You can't draw fresh water from a salty spring. Let's go. Father, thank you for your word. Lamp unto our feet, light upon our path. Move in great power. In Jesus' name, amen. Turn to somebody and say, watch out. Your tongue can set stuff on fire. Watch out. Watch out. Just by a show of hands, how many of you ever said something you wish you didn't say? I think that's probably all of us, your speech. Proverbs 15:4. The soothing tongue is a tree of life, but a perverse tongue crushes the spirit. Proverbs 18:6. The lips of an idiot bring them strife. Fool. Idiot, I added that. The lips of a fool bring some strife. Of fools bring some strife. And their mouth invite a beating. The mouths of fools are their undoing, and their lips are a snare to their very lives. I mean, think about that. The words of a gossip are like choice morsels that go down to the innermost parts. Wow. The tongue has the power of life and death. I want you to say that. The tongue has the power of life and death. Let me just make it plain. Your speech has the power of life or death. Which are you speaking? Do you have a mixture of death and life coming out of your mouth? What's coming out of your mouth? Life or death, or a combination of both? Recently, I was leaving my home, and as I was locking the door and thanking God for my home as I do, tapping the doorpost of my house, the Lord spoke to me really clearly and said, I'm sending a fresh fire. And I thought, oh, hallelujah. And then I heard him say, be strategic. And I said, amen. I came to morning prayer. Some of you are at that morning prayer time. Morning prayer has just been off the chain. It's just been so strong. When you're praying and you lose track of time, that's a good thing. You look like, oh my, half an hour has gone by. I'd encourage you to come to EMP, which we call early morning prayer, tomorrow. So we prayed on that day about fresh fire. God's releasing fresh fire. But I've found oftentimes people don't line their mouths up with what God wants to do. And if your mouth is a rudder, which the text says, we're going to look at it here in a moment. If your mouth has the power of life or death, how many of you know you could be speaking death over yourself? You could be speaking death over your kids. You could be speaking death over your church. Oh, over your business, over your spouse. You could be speaking death. And I've been around people, and unfortunately, I've participated at times, but messages like this have awakened me to the reality that I can bring forth the power of God through my speech. I can move mountains through my speech. I can overcome, release life, or I can release death. Which one are you releasing? I recall some powerful words through history. Mr. Gorbachev, tear down this wall. That was some powerful words, which he did. The text here that, you know, I'm so grateful for our school. Now, open enrollment is just ahead. Is that right, Headmaster Susie? Open enrollment is ahead. And I do believe we have the finest Christian school in the state. And I'm sure I'm biased, but that's okay. And very grateful. One of the main instruments a teacher has is their speech. One of the main instruments that I have to communicate to you right now are my words. I remember I used to sing a lot when I used to scream a lot, and I used to sing a lot. I don't think I scream as much. You're like, are you kidding me? You scream a lot. No, I used to lose my voice every weekend. Every Monday was no talk day, just vocal rest day. And I remember talking to Dr. Morocco, and he said, Daniel, listen to me. I said, okay. He said, stop singing. I said, that's impossible. He said, well, you better stop singing or stop yelling or something, because you can't wear your voice out. It's the gift that God gave you to communicate God's word. It's one of the great gifts that God gave you. If you destroy it, you're in trouble. And I thought, ooh. I just started learning to control my voice more. Singing probably is impossible for me, although nothing with God, nothing's impossible, but that's not something he wants me to stop. In fact, let me say this. From the time I was a little boy, and I know this because my father, who was an attorney, kept all the family files at his office. Well, when he finished his 51 years of practicing the law, he began to send files to the different family members and pictures and stuff. Well, he sent me all of my report cards that he had. And I got my kindergarten report cards. It was this little square thing. And it's kindergarten and those early formative years. And in the notes of nearly every year, it says, Danny continues to sing. He just likes to sing a lot. It's because I'm a worshiper. So, the instrument of a teacher's speech. Did you know the teachers? We have some teachers here. Headmaster Susie, you got some of your teachers here. Raise your hand if you're a teacher. Okay, you're going to be judged. Pastors, we have pastors here. Good. Why don't you raise your hand? Ministry people, life group leaders, raise your hand. Oh, did you hear? 221 life groups. But it gets better. 221 life groups ministering to 1,100 people every single week. Somebody ought to say, praise him. Yeah, that's a miracle. And we have a commission leaders meeting Sunday, 5:00, right here. If you're a commission leader, you come. So an instrument of a teacher's speech, and we as teachers, I'm teaching you right now, are going to be judged more strictly. Not many of you should be teachers. My fellow believers, says the NIV. because you know that those who teach will be judged more strictly. Listen to this. Matthew 12 and verse 36. But I tell you, everyone will have to give account on the day of judgment for every empty word that they have spoken. You might not have heard that, so I'm going to run it through one more time. Verse 36 of Matthew 12. But I tell you that everyone will have to give an account on the day of judgment for every empty word. Huh. So are there full words? Empty words. Words that don't have power, or words that bring death. Empty, void, not good. So you can bring forth words that are empty. You can bring forth negative speech. You'll stand before God. I'll stand before God. Should we repent right now? You know you need to repent right now. Some of you mouthed off. Say, well, look, forgive my French. It's not French. Now, words have power to build up. They have power to tear down. That old phrase when I was a kid, sticks and stones will break my bones, but names will never hurt me. Not true. Names hurt. Words hurt. There's word curses. And if you're a place of leadership, if you're a teacher in the school, if you're a mother, if you're a father, seriously, all of us teach at some capacity, something. We're all going to be held accountable for it. And that's really amazing. So it requires us to stay humble. We all stumble. Look at verse 2. Indeed, many of us make mistakes. We stumble in many ways. Goes on to say, for if we control our tongue, listen to this. It's not hyperbole. I'm using hyperbole. It's not hype. It's not like exaggerating the point so you really get it. It's actually the word of God. It's really true. Literally, if we could control our tongues, we'd be perfect and could also control ourselves in every other way. Controlling your speech is key to controlling yourself. If you can't control this, you're not in control. Watch out. Come on, Pastor Karen said, watch out. I don't know. This is not ministering to me, but I'm perfect in every way, in all of my speech. The tongue affects your whole way of life. Look at verse 3. We can make a large horse go wherever it wants. It's kind of funny when I've read that. I've had large horses that definitely did not go the way the bit wanted to go. And anybody that's ever ridden a horse might understand that's true. But the picture is also that it is amazing how a horse can be led by just a little touch to the mouth that he just turned. And that's the picture. You put bits in the mouths of horses and they obey. Ships, large vessels, turned by a little rudder. I was in the Bering Sea. It was January, February 1992-3. 40-foot swells in the Bering Sea. And we came to rescue one of the other fishing vessels that lost its rudder. The rudder fell off. Well, the engines were working, and the bow thrusters were working. Thank God for that. They kept it heading into the waves through bow thrusters that were soon to burn out. And we were able to come and help them. It's terrible. I mean, it's an end-of-life situation for a boat in a situation like that. Any fishermen out there? Can I get an amen? Like a bit that turns a horse, like a rudder that turns a ship, it can destroy your mouth. Your words can destroy a whole forest. I think years ago I think it was Pastor Chris, not to pick on him, but he had a big children's camp out at Dr. Morocco's property, and they had some fire out there, and they had put it out. It was days before. And Dr. Morocco just felt very strongly led to go up his property. This was days after the camp out, and found a fire had just started from a camping fire that was there. It wasn't extinguished quite right, and it was setting the forest on fire. That's what your words are like. It doesn't seem like it's true, but it is. Your words can set your life on fire. Wow. A world of evil. It affects one's course of life. Look at verse 6 with me. Verse 6. And among the parts of the body, the tongue is a flame of fire. You know, fire is awesome in the winter. Anybody have a wood-burning stove? Raise your hand if you have a wood-burning stove. Okay. How many of you like your wood-burning stove? Kind of a love-hate experience. For many, you got to chop the wood. I sort of enjoy that until it becomes work. But if you're heating, you get working. Somebody said wood. It heats twice. I don't know. I think it heats more like five times. You got to drag the tree out. You got to cut it. You got to chop it. You got to split it. You got to put it in rounds. You got to split it. You got to stack it. I mean, that's at least two times, three times. You got to bring it inside. And then finally, it burns. It's great when you have, there's nothing like a fire to me. Nothing like heating with wood. And I did that for 3 years, and I miss it, sort of. I had to put up eight cords of wood. Anybody know what I'm talking about? I had to put up eight cords of wood. It was amazing. As long as it was inside the firebox, it's fantastic. It's fire that gets outside the firebox that's not good. I remember tuning that fireplace just perfectly and falling asleep on the couch to wake up to and look, and I see the pipe going into the ceiling kind of waving like this, all super red and stuff. It's bad. You want to shut that thing down real quick. Fire can be great. Words are powerful. You need to use it, but you can set your life on fire with it. Not you can set it on fire for positive, but you can set it on fire for destruction. Don't do the destruction part. The only way the devil can speak is by using your mouth. Quit letting him rent your mouth. Bump your neighbor and say, "Are you letting the devil rent your mouth?" Don't let him do it. Don't let him do it. Don't be, I've said it over the years, I've said it this way. Don't be on the devil's wrecking crew. Be on God's building crew. Use your words to build up. Use your words to encourage. I was traveling recently beyond tired. That's like feeling flu symptoms tired. Totally exhausted. Somebody called me and said some things to me that made me, nothing can make you anything. I got angry. And I don't mean kind of angry. I mean like instant high blood pressure. And I said, I need to hang the phone up right now because I'm about to get in the flesh. So let's just talk later. How many of you know that was good? You know what was crazy about that story? What I perceived was completely inaccurate. My tired brain totally distorted, and there was a little sliver of offense in my heart, and I, my heart. I saw it. It's this knee-jerk response, and I'm glad that I didn't open up my mouth. I opened up my mouth a little bit, but I repented. I opened up my mouth to Pastor Karen. I said, sometimes I want to bite. Anybody feel like that? Go take a walk. Don't mouth off. There is a righteous indignation. I love what Pastor Karen said this years ago. Men gets righteous indignation, but the second he gets it, he ruins it. Really, God's the only one that can, he's the only one that's righteous that can really ever, don't call your anger problem righteous indignation. I feel the anger of the Lord. No, you're in your flesh, Junior. Come on, somebody say, shut my mouth. Shut my mouth. It's one of the ways that Satan can control you, and I'll just tell you, if you're mouthing off a lot and saying things that you ought not to say, you basically are allowing for Satan to control your life. And you don't think that this is as powerful as it actually is, but it is. This is not a joke. This is not like, he doesn't really mean what he's saying. No, he does. How did God create the heavens and the earth? He spoke it. How are you going to create your breakthrough and your miracle? By standing on God's word and speaking it, not by bellyaching. 1 Corinthians 10 says that they murmured and complained. What is murmuring, complaining? I can't believe they didn't give me that. I can't believe they didn't give me that bonus. I can't believe that, you know something, I should have got that raise. What did you just say to me? I mean, we get offended over so many things and then mouth off and literally release the fire of the underworld. Sure is quiet in this Methodist church tonight. You can let Satan control your life, or you can let God control your life. My job is to teach you how to let the Holy Spirit flow through you and for you to walk in victory, how to allow for you to live in the Spirit, to walk in the Spirit, to make no provision for the flesh with regards to the lusts thereof, to put on the new man every day, to speak life, don't speak death. And invariably, every time I teach on words and your speech, I think about my father-in-law, Lord bless him, he's in heaven, which is a miracle, thank God. Well, he just said he was going to die by the time he was 60. How many times did he say it? A dozen, dozens of times. And we were learning about the power of our speech back then, Pastor Karen and I. And I used to say, Jack, don't say that. Dude, you're cursing yourself. Well, I just feel like that's what's going to happen. Well, guess when he died? 60. He said it so many times, he just fulfilled his own prophecy. He cursed himself. Some of you speak all kinds of stuff over your life. Stop it. Just stop. Repent. Repent. Start speaking life. Start speaking life. You might not know this about me, but I am highly intelligent. I'm also very humble. Oh. I said that because the enemy for many years wanted me to believe the opposite. So, you know, I approached that thing. I learned differently. I mean, I had all kinds of creative ways of learning that the teachers couldn't understand. Dysgraphia, dyslexia, I was right hand, left hand. I mean, mixed dominance for a little bit that seemingly has changed. I'm different. And because of that stuff, I got in agreement with the fact that I thought I was stupid. And so I began to agree that I can't read, I can't spell, all of those things. And those are not my strong suit, but I hire secretaries to help me out with that. So that's why I started approaching. I just said, I'm highly intelligent. Because the opposite, the enemy lied to me for so many years. I didn't even let that thing come near me. Some of you think you're ugly when you're not. No one is. You're made in God's image. Some of you just constantly agree. You sit before the mirror and you're like, if I just had a bigger nose. I mean, you try to get rid of the unibrow, but it just grows back with a force. Just if your teeth were straight, if your lips are bigger, and then you go get filler, and then you look like somebody punched you in the mouth. That wasn't very nice. And it like fills over here and travels to your ear or something. How about just like the way that you are? And speak life over yourself. That's it. I'm not feeling it right now. Get your phones out. Get your phones. Go ahead. Get your phone. Get it. Get that $1,000 device that's in your pocket right there that you're probably doing Instagram or something. Well, come on, get it. Go ahead and look at yourself. Yeah, good. Go ahead and tell yourself. Some of you can't stand the way you look. You've agreed with the devil. So to do that, you're never going to say, oh, I'm smart. Or you were fearfully and wonderfully made. You must line your words up with the truth. It doesn't matter. But, you know, somebody said that, well, really thin is in. Well, back years ago, really big was the thing. I think when we get to heaven, everybody might be giant. Rotund, you know what I mean? Like, maybe that'll be in. You know, they used to call it voluptuous, whatever they call it. Maybe we'll all just be like 700 pounds and just eat everything we want. No heart problems. Baklava for days. The point is, speak life over yourself. Don't agree with what you think the devil says. Don't agree with other people say about you, your hair, your lack of hair. I'm glad I don't have hair. I had somebody say, well, you can get a toupee. You can get a toupee. You're going to get one of those things. Be like this out here in Wasilla. Jesus, help me. And before you know it, you start agreeing with the fact that you don't have any hair. And then you think your lips are too thin. And then before you'd be like, get lip filler and, oh, Jesus. Just thank God for the... Don't let anybody put a label on you. You agree with what God says about you. You line your mouth up with the truth and speak it, and your emotions will change. All right. So it can be a world of evil that can control your life. The tongue is difficult to tame. On one hand. But we have help. What do you mean we have help? Well, first of all, we're fallen. You have a fallen human nature that you have to deal with. And Jesus takes out the heart of stone and he puts in a heart of flesh. You give your life to Jesus, he gives you a new nature. And you don't have to yield to that lying, corrupted nature anymore. You can reckon yourself dead. That's not like, I reckon. It's declare yourself dead. I have many times just stood when I wanted to freak out in like every direction and said, I am crucified with Christ. Come on, that's a great scripture to memorize. Galatians 2:20, I'm crucified with Christ. You should turn there. Some of you haven't been crucified. You're like still part of you, just partying. The right hand's partying, the other side's crucified. It's a torturous life. I'm crucified with Christ, no longer I that live, but Christ lives in me. If you don't live the crucified life, you're not going to have the resurrected life flowing through you. So you have to speak to yourself and tell yourself to shut up and learn to control yourself. You've got to do it. You've got a fallen human nature. But we need the Holy Spirit. Everybody say, I need the Spirit. Yeah, you do. The Spirit. You need the Holy Spirit. The same Spirit that raised Jesus from the dead is available for us. How many of you know you can control your mouth with the Holy Spirit? It's one of the reasons I pray in tongues a lot. Tongues is the initial evidence, without giving a whole message to it, it's the initial evidence of the baptism of the Holy Spirit. And there's some that argue that, but this is a part of our fundamental truths that we believe, and I've preached it many, many times before. And if you don't believe that, then you can keep coming. It's not that big a deal to me. You study. But the point is, get filled with the Spirit. And then that's what we believe. It's not a game changer. If you don't believe in the baptism of the Spirit, you can keep coming. It's okay. Amen. But I found when I pray in tongues a lot, as I prayed in tongues a lot, all of a sudden... Back in those early days, I've been saved and following God a long time now, my speech changed. You will not hear me talk in a negative way over myself. Ever. I don't say, you jerk, how dumb can you be? I don't do negative self-talk. I don't do it. Why? Because it's from hell. And you need to stop. Oh, gosh, I'm so dumb. Anybody heard you say, anybody ever heard somebody? Stop it. Well, unless you want to stay dumb, you're going to get dumber. The more you're going to be dumb and dumber every time you just keep telling how stupid you are, and you'll just get more and more stupid. Because he's going to fulfill the very words of your mouth. But it's not God. You're cursing yourself. When you say to your kids, derogatory things, and you're cursing them. Sure is quiet. Come on, somebody say amen. And we need the Holy Spirit. We need the Spirit of God to help us. I don't know what it was. Bad company corrupts good character. So I found it, you know, in my life over the course of my time prior to Christ, if I spent time with people that cursed a lot, I cursed a lot more. Raise your hands if you're honest and you understand what I'm talking about. You hang out with F-bombers all the time, you find yourself F-bombing. You don't know what an F-bomb is? It's not forgiveness. I'm not talking about that. So, you know, bad company corrupts good character. And that can just get on you. And you can start negative speech, attitudes. You can get defiled by people who have death in their mouth. People who speak death. I don't allow it. We never allowed our kids to do it. Pastor Karen doesn't do it. We don't allow it. You can come to our house. It's going to be, there'll be passionate discussion from time to time. We don't start calling each other names and cursing each other. We don't do that. We never say divorce. We never will be divorced. Ever. That curse is broken. Both of our parents were divorced, but we will never be divorced. Divorce is broken off of our family. That curse is broken. Can I get an amen? It's not coming back. My kids will never be divorced. And I told them, don't you ever say the word. Don't ever say. There are reasons for divorce. There are definite reasons for divorce. Cleared reasons for divorce. But don't use it as an argument tactic. I think we should be divorced just because you're angry and you've been hurt, or he didn't listen to you, or he didn't pick up his BVDs, or I don't know, you feel like he works too much or doesn't work, or yeah, I mean, get some healing. Get healed. Don't call each other names and then get divorced. And then marriage is a beautiful, sacred thing. I think it's one of the most honorable things you can do. And I'm so glad that I married my beautiful wife 28 years ago. In 3 days, it'll be 28 years. Thank you for doing life with me, my beloved wife. We need godly discipline. I know a man who he started controlling himself through a rubber band. And his thing was lust. So anytime he would lust, he'd be like, snap. I mean, anybody ever snap a rubber band? We should probably pass out rubber bands to everybody right now. But do whatever you got to do to try to catch yourself. See, a message like this, you just hear it. I'm going to use my speech to speak life. I'm not going to speak death. And you listen to this message again and do whatever you got to do, but curb your language so you start speaking life. And learn to discipline yourself out of negative speech. My kids don't do it. They don't do it because literally they got disciplined for it. You're not saying hateful words over your brother, over your sister, over your mother, over me. You're never saying to your parent, I hate you. It was one of our children did it once. The other one watched the results of that and said, I'm not doing that. And they never said it again. It's miraculous, amazing, incredible. Wisdom on the hinder seat of their understanding. I didn't let my kids disrespect their mom. Mom didn't let them disrespect me. We didn't let them disrespect the church. We didn't let them talk negatively about any leader or anything. We didn't do that. Why? Because we didn't want them cursed. I said, yeah, but I agree. Well, listen, you need to stop that. And you need to pray for that leader that maybe isn't behaving so well. And maybe you need to confront them like Matthew 18, but don't talk evil of people. Now, God talks about gossip in here. Character assassination. The tongue reflects our inconsistent heart. It's our heart just goes back and forth, and we need to be careful of that. The ramification of the text in our lives, let me just help you get rid of some excuses for your negative speech. One, oh, I just talk too much. It's probably true, but it's not the reason you're saying negative things. People that talk too much usually because they're not listened to. They don't feel heard. Thank you, Pastor Karen. Women talk more than men. Next point. Some of you think that your opinion matters more than someone else's. Do you know God doesn't stand over your opinion to see it performed? He does stand over his word, however. Opinions are like everyone has them. Everyone has an opinion. Just whew. Lift your hands to Jesus and say, oh, thank you for your help tonight. Thank you for your help tonight. I've had people say, well, I just say it the way it is. No, you're rude, you're prideful, and you're arrogant, and you need to speak the truth in love, and there ain't no love on whatever all that is. No, I just say it. No, you're mean. I mean, you just like hurting people and controlling people. It's pride. We got to work on disciplining our tongue. I had somebody years ago spread a lot of lies about me and the church on Facebook. Of course, them and their 11 friends were rallying in their disparaging remarks, of which I've had to get thick-skinned. It used to hurt my feelings, and then I, you know, don't care. Because there's always going to be people that think whatever they think. And as long as your ways please the Lord, he'll make your enemies to be at peace with you. And so I'm just going to let the Lord sort it out. I'm going to humble myself. I'm going to repent. Anybody have to repent a lot? Repent a lot. Do the best I can. And I'll stand before God just like everyone else will. Well, this one brother just said a whole bunch of stuff about us. And he showed back up at church and said, hey, I got to talk to you. I said, okay. He said, I need you to forgive me. I said, okay. And I knew, but I said, for what? Now, I knew what it was, but I wanted him to say it. I need you to forgive me. I've said a bunch of lies about you. I said, okay. Well, what kind of lies? And he told me. He said, I did it on Facebook, and I told people that this and that and this and that about you and the church, and it wasn't true. I just was angry. I said, I understand. I forgive you, and I'd like you to do something for me. Oh, okay, what? I said, go find every person you told and tell them it was a lie. I can't remember them all. I said, exactly. You see, when you open your mouth and you begin to speak evil over somebody and you gossip, you might as well take a down pillow and go up on the top of Pioneer Peak and rip it open. All those feathers. You just watch them fly all over. You can go and repent. And go catch all the feathers. It's very hard to do. Gossip and character assassination is a wicked thing. And I've found I don't really know all that much, and the more I learn, the more I realize I still don't know much. Don't make eternal decisions about people. Be loving, be kind, but don't be a gossip. And if you're speaking evil of somebody, you're going to get yourself in some big trouble. So we have to work at disciplining ourselves. Your children have to be trained. Our kids have to be trained. I'm finding oftentimes in church, you've got adult children. You know what an adult child is? That's someone who's an adult, but they didn't get parented. They didn't get parented. They didn't get fathered. They didn't get mothered. They didn't get the kind of correction they need. And then frequently, they're playing that out with leadership. And I'm okay with that. Happy to correct and instruct and love you like a spiritual father. And I'm okay with it because I did that to Dr. Morocco. I needed a lot of help. And there was times where you'd be like, Daniel, come here. I'm like, oh. You know, correction's an interesting thing. If you don't have relationship with somebody, it's hard to bring ongoing loving correction. When you have a relationship, and I'm looking at the Capos and so many of you here I've known for decades, 20 years almost, Pastor Tim. We've bumped heads before. I've had to repent to you. I don't recall you having to repent to me much, but I do recall. I do recall mostly the times that I had to repent to you. And together, you're living this covenant walk, this covenant relationship. And how would I know that I've been so insensitive and Caucasian in my ways to your nativeness, and I mean that in the best way, if you didn't tell me? And so we work things out. I mean, I could laugh about some of that stuff now. Isn't God amazing? And so I had to get corrected. Some of you need correction. And when you love people enough, if you see something, you all know, if you see something in my life, you love me enough to say something, because I'm going to finish my race. You're going to finish yours too. You're going to finish the race? Come on. You're going to finish the race? You can finish it? Come on. Anybody that just lets you walk around with a big piece of salad in your teeth, just some snot hanging out of your nose, and you'd be like, oh, hi. Wouldn't you want somebody to say, you got a little something there? Some of you have issues in your life, but you don't let anybody into the place where you've built this relationship that then you then can correct it, so you stay an adult child. Oh, I'm not feeling the love, but I go over here, but go over to the Jabe section over here. And then frequently, you don't like the correction that you get. And sometimes it's not done right. I understand that. And so then you just X people off. I'm just going to go to another church. That's it. They hurt my feelings. Well, you and your hurt feelings can go to another church and you'll find that the same issue happens. And it happens again. And it happens again. Some of you are on like your fourth church. Now I've offended you and you're going to move on to number five. How about dig in a little bit and really take a deep look and get healed and get corrected about your life, about your finances, about your emotions, about your mouth. Well, stay filled with the Holy Spirit. Ephesians 4 talks about that, and it's a great passage to partner up here with James 3. Ephesians 4 and 15 talks about putting off falsehood. Instead, speak the truth in love. Speak the truth in love. We should not lie, but speak the truth in love. So literally, you can speak the truth without love, and it can be sin. It still would be the truth, but it's not the way that the Lord would do it. Oh, is anybody else being convicted tonight? Verse 29 of Ephesians 4 in the New International Version says, do not let any unwholesome talk come out of your mouths. Don't let. It's a choice. I just can't control myself. Well, if you can't control yourself, somebody else is going to. You're not going to learn to control yourself. Learn to control your speech. I remember years ago, I had such a bad anger challenge, and right when I first got saved, and I just felt like the Lord said, anytime you feel that rage come on you, run. So there I was, and I felt, anybody know what rage is? It's not anger. It's more like a murderer spirit. Actually, anger becomes a spirit of murder. And that's a whole nother message. And I've felt this rage, and so I just heard the Lord say, run. So I literally ran. Ran out the house, ran down the street. And this is long before I was married, Pastor Karen. Down the street, just kept running and running and running and running and running and running. Until my heart was at critical pace and I could not run anymore. And I stopped. And I realized, I didn't lose it. Some of you need to get tactics. He said, well, how about just lay hands up? Yeah, I understand. But listen, men, some of you men are so wounded by your father. And if you don't work that out, you're angry with your wife. You're angry with your kids. You're angry. And it's because you got a deep wound on the inside of that. One of the things I've found that helps me is, of course, prayer. But also training, physical exercise has been good for me. It's just good to be home and be back in the gym. Why? Because my flesh, I just like disciplining it. It's good. Control my mouth so I'm not eating all the bonbons and losing my mind. Believe me, part of me wants to comfort myself with a whole bunch of sugar because my kids are not here and I miss them. It's Christmas. I'm like, what the heck? Jesus, where's the chocolate cake? We don't have any. It's gone. I feel deprived. But at the same time, there's a pattern that's been in my life and I've disciplined myself. I got four-way stretch suits, but they only stretch so far, ladies and gentlemen. Man, I got it. I got in one of those suits. I'm wearing my shirt out. Praise the Lord. We'll tuck that thing in later, but we're not there. I'm under the discipline of the Lord right now. Discipline your speech, discipline your behavior, discipline your spending habits, discipline your emotions, control yourself, but it starts with your mouth. Lift your hands to Jesus and give him praise. Come on.
Well, I hope you were encouraged by God's word. Thank you again for listening to King's Alaska Podcast. God bless you. For more great content, go to kcalaska.com and may God's face shine upon you.